Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless.
Welcome everybody to Sunday service. Hallelujah. Hand clap of praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As I always say, y'all could have been anywhere in the world, but y'all have decided to be here in the virtual if you're online or in the physical house of the Lord, and we're so excited to have you. We do have Apostle in the building, so make some noise for our Apostle. Woo woo, she's here. Hey, Apostle. But y'all not hearing from her on today. She gonna receive. She gonna flow as lead. You know, y'all know how she go. But we do have our wonderful minister, Tanisha, coming up on today. Woof woof. To give us this power-packed word. So prepare your hearts and minds to receive what thus saith the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Welcome everyone to Flawed and Free. Good afternoon. And the Lord showed me it was an open heaven. And the way you tap into an open heaven is through faith. And one thing that he's really been highlighting is that as much as Flawed and Free, we love the Lord. We be on fire, we be moving, but we cannot move for you. And we cannot yield for you, and we cannot believe for you. And so he gave me a word. He said, revival is coming, revival is here. Will you ignite? For my kingdom, for my glory, I desire to use you, to equip you, for I have called you. Yield to the calling, to the process, to the result. And for those that don't know, the result is becoming more like Christ. It's not comparing yourself to someone else or what you think you should do. It's becoming more like Christ. That's the result. So everybody always wants to tell you, focus on the result, focus on the result. The result is becoming more like Christ. But again, he said to yield to the calling, to the process, to the result. We have to yield to becoming more like Christ. Christ laid down his life. He was spit on, he was beaten, he was bruised, he was broken. He had to endure what they were saying to him, them beating him, spitting on him, mocking him. And through it all, he didn't say a word. That's what we're trying to become like. It's just to endure, to walk and move in power and glory, but to endure. So I'm going to let that simmer for a moment. Well, welcome to Flawed and Free. So we are so happy to have you all here. Welcome to everyone online. We love you, our online community. Those in the room, thank you for joining us. June has been a month thus far. Whew, it has been a month. We had our corporate fast, we had our first fruits fast as a church family. For the first time, we invited the church family in at the beginning of the week, the first 3 days. Did y'all enjoy? Amen. We had some fire, we had some bow bow. Nana got us with that bow bow. We had an amazing time. And so for those that did fast with us, thank you. Congratulations, y'all made it. I was wondering. I said, Lord, because you know the team, we do it every month. But we go 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little shorter. And I was wondering, I said, God, are they gonna stay with us the whole time? They're gonna tap out. But y'all stuck it out. Glory be to God. But don't let your fire go out. Keep the oil burning. Keep your fire going. You gotta keep going. But June is a special month, for those that don't know. It is Apostle's birthday month. So we give honor to you, Apostle. We say thank you for your yes. I'm not going to go too far because, you know, I'm crying. I'm not going to do that today. But June is a very special month, and the Lord has gotten very serious with Apostle about resting. So as her team, as her spiritual daughters, we are also very serious with her. She got to rest. So you see, she's sitting down today. She might get up, but she's going to rest. But I want to remind y'all, or for those that are new, to let y'all know that Flawed and Free, this church, this ministry, it is not built on the back of Apostle. It is built on the back of Jesus Christ. So if you show up every time looking for Apostle, you're going to miss the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now. So if you come in the month of June, she already told you last week, I'm telling you today, it's going to be the team. You're going to see the team up here. So if you show up this month, any other time, any other event, and you're looking for Apostle, she not there, you're going to miss the Lord. So when you have your little feeling, it's okay. We love Apostle. We all love Apostle. I know you get a little sad. Just check yourself, realign, and look for the Lord. You shouldn't even look at me today. You should be looking at the Lord. So I'm moving today in my function as a prophet, which is exciting. It's a little scary because, you know, everybody wants to be a prophet until it comes time to be a prophet. But prophets come to expose and they come to correct. So they come for both. Okay, it's not always a happy, happy, joy, joy type of word. It's exposure and it's correction. Because you need to expose something to know it needs to be corrected. But if you're only exposing, then you're just being messy. You gotta have both, exposure and correction. So that is what I'm coming to do on today, what the Lord has given me for my assignment. And I'm gonna ease into it. Because as soon as I say the word, as soon as I give the title, half of y'all are gonna zone out, say that doesn't apply to me, that has nothing to do to me. Do with me, and I can assure you, it does. So we are going to level set with some definitions. Y'all know I like to level set. We're going to level set with some definitions, make sure we all understand what we're talking about when I use certain words today, and then we're going to move forward. Amen? Amen. Lord, help me. Okay. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the word that goes forth on today, Father God. I pray, Father God, for open hearts, for open minds, Lord God, for ears to hear, Father God, that you would place your people, Father God, in a heart to receive, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I bind, Father God, all condemnation, Lord God, that would try to come forth. All twisting, Lord God, of the enemy, all pride, Father God, that the enemy would try to use to distort, Father God, this message, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, for open hearts, open minds on this day, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way. Amen. Okay, so the first definition we are going to look at today is pervert as a verb. So to pervert something means to cause to turn aside or away from what is good or true or morally right, to corrupt. And synonyms for the verb pervert are misuse, distort, misrepresent. And what we're really going to be talking about is perversion, which comes from the word pervert. And perversion is a noun. And it means the act of distorting or corrupting something from its original state, to twist the meaning or sense of, to misinterpret. Synonyms for perversion are degradation and corruption. And when we look at it from a biblical perspective, when we talk about perversion in the Bible, it generally refers to a twisting or deviation from God's original intended design. Rather than simply meaning immoral behavior, it denotes using something God created as good for a destructive or wrong end. So in any of those definitions, explanations, did I mention anything sexual? No. Perversion goes beyond sexual sin, sexual perversion. It goes beyond that. So I know a lot of times in culture we like to use words so much, we like to use them out of context or in only one context to where we forget what the word actually means. Perversion is just a distortion, taking something that was good, originally good, and twisting it to be evil, to be corrupt. That's what it means at the end of the day. And perversion only applies when you have something good and you twist it to be corrupt. If it's intended originally to be corrupt or be bad and you twist it to be good, that's redemption. That's not perversion. So that's not what we're talking about today. Well, we're going to talk about redemption later. But we're talking about perversion. So we're all in agreement. Perversion goes beyond sexual sin. So we all have our eyes, our ears, our minds, our hearts open today. So there are different ways that you can have perversion, that you can see it show up in your life. Through speech, through your gifts, through your talents, even through your calling and purpose, in your thoughts, your imagination, in your body, of course, sexual sin and all the things. And you can even pervert symbols. So this month is June. The world wants to call it Pride Month. They want to shine the rainbow. But if you want to know what the original intent of the rainbow was, what it originally represents, all you got to do is read the Bible. And you don't got to get very far. You just got to get to Genesis 9. Make it to Genesis 9 and you'll find out. The Lord sent the flood, right? He wiped out all the things on the earth. Too much evil, too much corruption. He said, I can't do it. So he wiped them out, but he saved Noah. He saved a select few. And then after the flood, he sent the rainbow. And he said that when he sees his bow in the clouds, he will remember the covenant that he created with Noah, that he created with the earth, that he would never again destroy the earth through flood waters. So I'm not going to get too off topic, but I'm just going to say, everybody's scared about global warming and all the ice melting and flooding the earth. It's not going to happen. The Lord will never again destroy the earth through flood waters. So, thank you. Amen. So, perversion is just a tool of the enemy to get you out of alignment with God's will, his plan, and his intentions for your life. That's all it is. So we're going to explore today a few different ways perversion can show up. I'm going to go ahead and give y'all the title. So today's message is The Price of Perversion, Twisting God's Purpose for Personal Gain. Because there is always a price that you gotta pay. And we're gonna look at that today. So the first area we are going to look at perverting is speech. That's one of the most simplest, easiest things that you can pervert. I'm pretty sure all of us have done it in some way, shape, or form. And again, perversion is when you take something that was originally meant for good and you twist it to be corrupt. So we wanna figure out, okay, what was speech originally intended for? We gotta go to the one who gave it to us and when he gave it. And that, of course, would be the Lord. And is back in the garden. So when the Lord created man and woman, when he created human beings, he created them in the Garden of Eden. There was no sin in the garden. There was no hoopla. There was no evil. There's nothing going on except good and bliss and joy. And so whenever you're trying to think, is this God's intent for me? Think about, would it have occurred in the Garden of Eden? And if the answer is no, then it's probably not his intent. You gotta go back to the Lord. But in the Garden of Eden, we see that the Lord was there. And we see that the original intent for the garden was just good. We had free will from the beginning, but we were never supposed to know sin or evil. We didn't know it until Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Before they ate the fruit, they didn't have no knowledge of good and evil. They just knew good. That's it. That's all we're supposed to know. But you know, we're here, so. When we look back at Genesis 1, we see the Lord using speech in the very beginning. The Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And the Lord saw that it was good. That is how speech was intended. For us to speak a thing, to see it come to pass, and to acknowledge it as being good. That's the original intent of speech. We were never supposed to know evil to even speak it out. We were supposed to just speak the truth, speak goodness. So that is the intent of having speech. And we can see with Adam, he walked in it because the Lord brought him to the animals and he said, name the animals. And Adam did. And to this day, thousands of years later, we got lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my, they got the same word that Adam gave him, the same name. So we see that even man, created in the image and likeness of the Lord, used speech, what the Lord gave him, to use it and apply it as it should have been. And it was, and he saw it was good. And to this day, it's still good. And I know what you're thinking. Okay, well, then sin came in. When Adam did all that, there was no sin in the world. What about now? Sin didn't come in. What happened? Nothing happened. Speech is still intended to be good. And we can look at how the Lord Jesus spoke in the Gospels. So y'all can fact check me on this. Okay, this is your homework. You can fact check me. But when you look in the Gospels and you look at the red text, okay, the red letters, that's when Jesus is speaking. I want y'all to look at how he spoke. And I want you to look specifically when he said, I am, and then what came behind that. Because the Old Testament, when the Lord pulled up on Moses with the burning bush, Moses said, well, who am I supposed to tell these people is talking to me right now? And he said, the I am that I am. So when you say and use your tongue, your speech, to declare I am, you're really referencing God. And you're claiming something as your identity. So when we look at the Lord Jesus, I want y'all to be involved. What did the Lord say? When he said, I am, what were things that he said, I am? The truth, the way, the life? Amen. Y'all know y'all Bible. So the Lord said things like, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. So in all of that, perfect example of how to use your speech, how the Lord intended it to be. Did the Lord ever once say, I am depressed. I am anxious. I am frustrated. I'm done with y'all. He didn't say that. He said that in so many words, but he didn't say those words. So we have to look at the Lord, right? He's the one that gave us speech. How did he speak? And this is how he spoke. God said there was. He saw it was good. The Lord Jesus came and he said, I am. And the Lord had emotions, right? God has emotions and we have emotions too because we are made in the image and likeness of God. So it's natural to have emotions. But the Lord Jesus never spoke out his emotions, even when he was in the garden. I know what y'all are thinking. Well, he was sweating blood. So he was sweating blood, but he still understood the power of his words. So he said, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. He did not say, I am very sorrowful, or I am anxious, or I am afraid. He didn't say that. He said, my soul is very sorrowful. And that's a fact, and that's true. Your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. So that's true. His soul was sorrowful. And he asked the Lord, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, he went forward. And so one little tip that I give myself is when I'm feeling away. Again, it's okay to feel away sometimes. I will speak out, I feel sad, or I feel upset, or I feel, instead of saying I am. Because when you say I am, you're embodying that. So you can say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am more precious than rubies. I am created in the image and likeness of God. I am the apple of God's eye. Those things are true and they are good. And that's your identity. You can take that and put that on. But to say I am sadness, no, you're not. You are not that blue thing from inside out running around. That's not who you are. I am depressed. You are not. Okay? You might feel it, but that's not who you are. And if you desire to embody that, we got to talk. We're going to come up to the altar. We're going to get that out of you. But you have to be mindful of your speech. It's very easy to pervert your speech. It's very easy to just run off at the mouth. Very easy. Too easy, honestly. So different examples of perverting your speech. Anytime you're tearing something down instead of building it up, right? Whenever we look at the Lord, even when the Lord was correcting and chastising, he was not berating. So there's a difference. You can correct, and you can correct in love, but you don't berate somebody and tear them down. But again, right, there's two things. They come together. So you always want to make sure you're building up. When you're correcting, you want to make sure you're doing it in love and that you're building up. But if you're out here doing things like gossip, slander, lying, speaking death, even twisting the scripture, that's all perversion. It's taking something good, twisting it, corrupting it, distorting it into something bad. And we see in Proverbs 18:21, very famous scripture. Who knows it? Yeah, see, y'all under it. But Proverbs 18:21 is, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So even speaking out scripture is using speech as the Lord intended. But you know, the enemy always coming to pervert something. And that's how we see the New Age witches out here talking about manifest and just speak positive and think positive and the law of attraction, it'll come to you. And I can speak on this because I used to be in it. Okay, I used to be in it. And so that's a twisting and that's a perversion of scripture to say, I can just speak something out and it'll come to me. It's based on Proverbs 18:21, which is a truth and principle of the Lord. And if it's a truth and principle of the Lord, it's going to stand, but they pervert it. And when you're in New Age, you function as if you have all the power. You and the universe, demons, but you and the universe have all the power to bring whatever you want to manifest, you bring it in. There's no acknowledgement of God. You are your own God. That's a perversion. That's not how it works. And we see in James 3 how we're supposed to speak. Again, we already see from the Lord, but if you needed some more evidence. In James 3, starting in verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Let that sit for a second. But I want y'all to notice in verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. A little reminder, every single person is made in the likeness of God. Not every person is a child of God or following God, because it's a choice. But every single person is made in the likeness of God. So when it's talking about we curse people who are made in the likeness of God, it's not talking about, oh, just these people over here that haven't accepted the Lord. No, it's talking about everybody, because we're all made in the image and likeness of God. But there's a price when you have perverted speech. You can have broken relationships, out here gossiping, slandering. It causes disunity. It causes discord. That's not of the Lord. The Lord is a God of unity, a God of order, a God of peace, a God of holiness. And it can cause spiritual agreement with the enemy. You can word curse yourself. You can word curse somebody else. And you open a door wide open to the enemy. I remember once I was having a time. I don't know if you remember, CeCe, but we were down in Houston, me, Apostle, and Sierra, and we were walking into an event, and the Lord had called me to leave my job. So I was on my adjustment season of not having my nails done, all these things I had to press on. And we're walking into the event, and my press on popped off. And I said, I hate this season. And Sierra said, don't say that. And I knew in my spirit, I was like, oh, I rebuke it, God. I repent. My bad. Because I could feel it as soon as I said it. I was speaking death over what the Lord was trying to do. He was just trying to adjust. And it was not a big deal. It was a daggone press on nail. Everything is fine. I'm still here today. And so we just have to be mindful that when we say these things, the enemy is legalistic. And he will take something you say. I don't care if it's a song lyric. I don't care how you meant it. Everybody out here want to say, I'm dead. I'm dead. It's so funny. I'm dead. The enemy is running up in the courts. Look, your daughter says she dead. Your son says she dead. And we have to be mindful. Now, of course, you cannot be so trapped in your mind and afraid to move. The Lord covers. But we just have to be mindful. The enemy is legalistic. And the Holy Spirit will bring it back around. And he will cause you to repent. He will convict you. So don't move in fear. Just, you know, be aware and be sensitive to the Spirit. But we can also have the price of perversion. We can see that there can be damaged identity and loss of credibility. Because how would it look if I'm up here telling y'all, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are beautiful. And I get off this pulpit and I'm like, you are nasty. You are horrible. You are ugly. You're worthless. That's going to make me look crazy. Because you don't know which one is the real deal. And now I done lost my credibility. I done lost my reputation. I get up here the next Sunday trying to talk to y'all. You're going to tune me out. So there's a price. Perversion always comes. It always comes with a price. So speech can be perverted. But we can also pervert our gifts and our talents. So I'm going to go over the definitions just so we all know. But a gift is a notable capacity, talent, or endowment. It's something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. That's a gift. And then a talent is a natural endowment of a person. So I may use the two terms interchangeably. I'm not only talking about the spiritual gifts today. That's part of it. But I'm talking about any gift, right? You can have the gift of doing hair, gift of makeup, all that stuff. So again, if we're trying to understand what is the original intent, we have to look at the one who gave us the gift and gave us the talent and see what he says. So in James 1:17, we find out who gave us the gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So the Lord is the one who gave us the gifts. Every good gift, every perfect gift. Spoiler alert, there's no bad gifts. Because again, if something is originally bad and it's twisted to be good, that's redemption. That's not what we're talking about. So every good and perfect gift is from above. So, okay, we know the giver. God is the giver of good gifts. But we have to figure out why he gave the gift. So in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And another translation says, it's given to each one for the profit of all. So your gift is not given to you for you to hoard and you to use just for yourself. It's given for the common good, for the profit of all. And then it proceeds to list the spiritual gifts, but we can apply that to every good gift from the Lord. And then if we want to look at talents, why did the Lord give us talents? we can look at the parable of the talents. So I'm going to paraphrase it for y'all, but if you want to study on your own, it's Matthew 25, 14 through 30. But essentially, the parable is there's a master. He's about to go away for a little bit. He has three servants. Servant A, he gives a portion to of talents. Servant B, he gives a portion to. Servant C, he gives a portion to. Servant A starts working, and he flipped those talents. He multiplies them. Servant B does the same thing. Servant C says, I'm just going to, you know, bury these. I'm not going to do anything with them. I'm just going to keep them safe, keep them tucked away. And then the master comes back and he says, okay, it's time to collect. Servant A, what you got? And then he says, oh, you multiplied. Glory be to God. Good on you. Servant B, you multiplied. Glory be to God. Good on you. Servant C, you wicked, evil servant. You didn't do nothing. You didn't do the bare minimum. Be for real. And it's not a good time for Servant C. And so when we look at that, we can see that the Lord gives, because we've already established that he's the one that gives. He gives for the common good, and he gives because he's expecting a return on his investment. If you are given something for the common good, it's not for you to just hold. Servant C said, I'm going to bury this. And to be fair, I can see where Servant C was coming from, okay? He was moving in fear a little bit. He said, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to lose it. So I'm just not going to use it. I'm going to hide it, keep it safe. That's what he thought. But then the master came to collect. I bet if he would have tried, even if he would have lost some, but he would have tried to use the gift, I bet the master would have had more grace, more mercy for him. But the master said, you couldn't even put it in the bank and get interest. You couldn't do anything. Not at all. Nothing. It was not a fun time for him. So the Lord gives us our gifts, and he expects a return on his investment. He wants us to use them. Because I don't know if y'all seen what's going on in the world. It's a little crazy out there. It's a little crazy out there. The body is needed. There's a reason that the body is still in the earth. Okay, when the body of Christ gets slurped up, as I like to say, when they get raptured up, the restrainer is gone and the Antichrist can do whatever he wants and, you know, all hell can break loose on the earth. But until then, we are here. And we are here for a purpose. And everyone has a different portion of their gifts. A lot of people even have the same gift. So to give you a real deal example, in this ministry, there are some of us that have the same gift. We have the gift of prophecy, or we have the gift of interpretation of tongues, for example. So I have the gift of interpreting tongues. There are times where Apostle will speak, not pray in her tongues, but she will start speaking tongues because the Lord is speaking through her, and she may call me up to interpret. Alexis also has the gift of interpretation. When it's time for me to operate and function in the gift, I have to focus on yielding to the Lord and what he's trying to say. I cannot be thinking, oh, well, Alexis got the gift too, and she uses her gift better than me, and I bet she has a bigger portion, and I bet she this and she that. I don't have the time. I cannot. I have to be focused on what the Lord is trying to say, what he's trying to do. So even though you may have the same gift as someone else, again, the purpose is for the common good, for the profit of all, not for you to compare. Not for you to compare. And even Essence in Bible study, she had a good word. She said, if you are trying to compare yourself, you have to check your measurement. Because the Lord didn't create us in the same measure. So if you're comparing to anybody, compare to the Lord Jesus. You don't need to compare to another human being. But the Lord gave gifts and he gave talents. And he didn't give them for you to show off. So that's one thing. You know, the Lord, when he revealed to me that I was a prophet of God, I remember the call. I remember the prayer call. I heard it. And Apostle asked us at the end of the call, does anyone have something to release? I said, yeah, I heard this, but it's not for me. I said, that's for somebody else. I don't know who it's for. It's not for me. And the Lord had to bring it back around. You know, I had to repent because that was perverted speech. But I had to repent for that. But the gift is not for you to show off. And a lot of so-called prophets like to be out here just showing off just for fun. Just, ooh, I can get a word so quick. That's not the intent of the gift. And it's not intended for you to move outside of God. So you'll see a lot of perversion, especially in the occult, with witches, with mediums, with psychics. There is a reason that they are accurate, okay? A lot of them are seers, or they have the gift of seeing, and they can see in the spirit. They're getting intel in the spirit. It's just not from the Holy Spirit. So they're out of alignment. They're out of order. They're not working with the Lord. They're moving outside of God. That's a perversion. And that's, you know, again, it's just very interesting how the enemy will just take something that's so good and he will twist it But because it's still accurate, it deceives many people. Because they think, how can this be wrong if what they said is correct? Because it's moving outside of God. Period. And even exalting your own platform. If the Lord gives you the gift of influence, how many influencers do we see out here on the internet not glorifying the Lord? I'll say it like that. That's not why they were given the gift of influence. They were given the gift to point people back to Christ, not to do a lot of what they do. Just, I'm gonna leave it there. But I'm also gonna come for a specific group. They are a gift, but they are a group. And spoiler alert, it is the fivefold. And again, I told y'all, I'm in the fivefold. So I'm not coming for y'all, I'm coming for us, okay? Because let me just read the scripture and then we get on. I'm gonna read it in the NLT. So it's Ephesians 4. I'm going to start in verse 11 in the NLT because I think it makes it very clear what the gift is and why the gift was given. So starting in Ephesians 4, 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So what's the gift? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the pastors. And their responsibility is to equip God's people, not to be running around on TikTok talking about, I'm a prophet of God. I got a word for you. You finna get married. You gotta sow $500. That's not the responsibility. It's not to stand and run around and I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle, show me honor, I'm an apostle, no. And it's not even for you to be, well, I'm friends with the pastor. I'm really close with the pastor. That's not why he gave the gift. He gave the gift to equip God's people to do his work, the Lord's work. So if you are under someone and they are equipping you to further their mission and their platform, is a perversion. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. So if you call yourself a prophet, an apostle, an evangelist, a teacher, a pastor, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Equipping. If you're not equipping, then you're not functioning properly. And it's a perversion. And when you're equipping, it's to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church. So again, when we look at speech, it's meant to edify, to speak a good word, to speak over people, speak life. You are meant to build up the church, not tear it down. So all these ministries that want to expose people left and right, never once calling you to pray for them. Never once lifting up a prayer. Never once saying, this is what I saw. This isn't right, but let's pray. Let's lift them up. Never once doing that. But they want to get the views. This is what they do in this church, doing this. This pastor doing that. Look at what he wearing, what she wearing. Look at this. Never once calling people to repent. That's not, I don't care what their title is. It's a perversion if they're not operating in the function, the responsibility that the Lord gave them. I get a little fiery about this, y'all, if you can't tell. I get a little fired up. Because when you're moving outside of the word, when you're moving outside of the original intent, it's a perversion. The Lord's coming to expose it on today. So when we look at equipping and we look at edifying, some people can take that all the way on the left. Like I said, they can tear down and they can berate. And that is not of the Lord. That is a peace, right? There is exposure is a peace. Correction is a peace. Building up is a peace. And if you want the proof, I found it. It's in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1, in Jeremiah chapter 1, that is when the Lord calls Jeremiah and tells him he's a prophet. I'm not going to talk about verse 5, though. I'm going to look at, let's start in verse 9. So Jeremiah 1, 9. The word says, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So for those who call themselves prophetic, for those who say they have a word from the Lord, it should always be the Lord's words, not your words. Not words that are going to get you views, get you paid, make the people feel happy. It should be the Lord's words. And in verse 10, we see the purpose. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. So it's both. You plucking up, you breaking down, you building, and you planting. If you're only plucking up, you're only breaking down, there's no rebuilding, it's not the fullness. you out of alignment. You got to come into the fullness. And that's for anyone that even is receiving. If you're receiving and it's always just one, never the other, that's a problem. And it's both ways. If somebody is berating, they're constantly tearing down, they're constantly plucking up, but they're never rebuilding, that's a problem. If they're always happy, happy, joy, joy, you get married tomorrow, you get millions tomorrow, the Lord is upon you, but there's never any type of correction. There's never pointing you back to the word. There's never any sanctification, right? At the beginning, the Lord said, yield to the process. Yield to the process, the result becoming more like the Lord Jesus. If that's never mentioned, then, you know, there's probably more to it. So seek the Lord on that. But I know what you're thinking. Okay, if everybody's misusing the gifts, they're misusing the talents, why do they get to keep them? Because the Lord is a giver of good gifts, and the gifts are without repentance. We like to say that. And we can gloss over scripture sometimes because we hear it so much. So I'm going to read that scripture actually in the Amplified because I think it makes it very clear. So in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, for he does not withdraw what he has given, nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. The Lord does not change his mind. He doesn't take it back. Just because you are misusing it, he doesn't take it back, because the Lord is patient. He wants you to function in the original intent. He wants you to repent. He wants you to be in alignment with him. He is patient. The word even says that the Lord is not slow, as we see slowness. He's patient. He doesn't desire anyone to perish. That's not the fear of the Lord is a good thing. But could you imagine? You have one little misstep, poof, you gone. He done struck you down. And imagine every time you look around, every time somebody missteps, poof, they gone. That's going to put the wrong type of fear in you. Oh, I don't know. It might put the right type of fear. I don't know. But the Lord desires for you to be saved. And the gifts are good. The gift isn't bad. Just because you're using it wrong doesn't mean that the gift is bad. He desires for you to use it the right way. He desires for you to use it the right way. And there's a price to be paid when you pervert the gifts, when you pervert the talents. So you can lose intimacy with the Lord. You can stay stuck and stagnant and have spiritual immaturity. And of course, there can be harm to the body of Christ. The gifts are meant for the good of all, for the common good, the profit of all. And you can cause harm. And then, of course, you have people who follow personalities and not the Lord. Operating in your gift to the point where it's me, 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 look at me. You ain't never pointing back to Christ. And now, again, you can't control. Everybody has their own thing that they got to look at. I can't yield for you. I can't give you faith. But I can at least point you back to Christ. If you look, that's on you. But I can at least point you back there. And the greatest perversion of a gift is when the vessel receives the glory that belongs to the giver. So if you are in a position where people are glorifying you, it should make you uncomfortable, to be honest. You should, again, you can't control the people, but you can point them back to the Lord, and you can pray for their hearts to be set upon the Lord, for their eyes to be focused upon the Lord. You can pray for them. You can't control them, but you can pray for them. So intercessors, rise on up. We see a whole lot going on, but how many of us intercede? I was chatting with my friend. I'm going to go off script for a second. I was chatting with her because she said, I think I'm going to watch this show called Worst Ex Ever. And Apostle and I were watching it. And if you ain't seen it, it's a worldly show. I'm going to tell you that, okay? It's not of the Lord. But I like to watch some of these documentary type things because I like to clock, like, which demon is in operation. And in this show, there's a particular episode with Mr. Wade. He got a lot. He got a gang of demons. He got a gang. And not one person in the show ever said, oh, I should pray. Like, they were not in the Lord. And some of them would say, like, you could just see he was evil. Yeah, because it was a demon or 10. And so my friend was like, oh, I think I'm going to watch it. And she watched it. I said, what you think? She said, you know, we're just not praying hard enough. And I said, that's facts. That's facts. If you take anything away from that show, let it be that, that we are just not praying hard enough. Because it is too much hoopla. Too much hoopla going on. So there is a price to perversion. So we've talked about speech. We've talked about the gifts and the talents. Prayerfully, you're allowing the Lord to speak to you on where you may have perverted something. And so these things, perverting your gifts, your talents, your speech, it can impact beyond you, but a lot of times the consequences are just impacting you, right? I do want to encourage you all to repent as the Lord brings something up to you, but I'm going to remind y'all that sin, perversion, still has a consequence. So even when you repent, there's still a consequence to be had. And that doesn't mean anything bad. That just means that God is just and he is righteous and he's not going to go against his word. He loves you, but he's not going to go against his word. So we're going to talk today. I'm going to give you all an example of perverting your temple. But I want y'all to see how the perversion, the price, wasn't just a one-time type of thing. I want to highlight how it was generational. So we are going to talk about sexual sin, but I want y'all to keep in mind that's not the only type of perversion with your temple, right? Perversion is when you take something that was originally intended for good and you twist it, you corrupt it, you distort it. So your temple, if I'm out here just swinging, and I joke sometimes like I'm a fight and I'm a fuck. But if I'm actually doing that, that's what I'm doing all the time, that's a perversion. The Lord didn't give me my temple to be fighting people in the flesh. He didn't do that. And I know what you're thinking. The kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That is true, but the word also says what? We fight not against, amen, we fight not against flesh and blood. So you should be swinging in the spirit, not the natural. Don't get it twisted, though. We guard in this ministry. We guard and we pack. So if you're trying to come with that smoke, you're finna get that fire. Yes. On both ends, you're finna get that fire. Listen, we're gonna have Nana on the track. And so you can pervert your temple in that way. Of course, mistreating your body by gratifying your flesh, okay? If anybody in this room loves a sweet treat, it's me. I love a sweet treat down. But I cannot be out here every time I want a sweet treat, just gobble, gobble, gobble. That's not glorifying the Lord. That is gratifying my flesh. We can't be doing that. That's outside the original intent. And then, of course, sexual sin. And to be clear, when I say sexual sin, I mean all sexual sin. I don't just mean homosexuality or bestiality and things of that nature. If you're a heterosexual and you're having sex outside of marriage, that's outside the original intent that the Lord gave us sex, you're in perversion. Fornication is perversion. Okay, if you're out here having lustful fantasies in your mind, the Lord didn't give you your mind for you to think about that man or woman all the time and think about all the things you want to do to them. No, that's perversion. That's sexual sin. So I just want to make that clear. Okay, and sin is sin, but sexual sin is a thing. I don't know why everybody wants to talk about like, well, murder is horrible, but I'm going to be over here sleeping with this person. Ain't no thing. That's fine. No, it's all sin. And sexual sin is sexual sin. So we are going to look at my man, David. I love David. Oh, David. I love David. David got a lot to him. He got a lot to his story. He really does. But I really enjoy that the Bible doesn't only focus on the highlights of David. We see the good of David. We see the bad of David. David is a man. He done went after Goliath. Everybody was standing around talking. Oh, my gosh, look at this guy. Like, what are we going to do? And David pulled up and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he took him out. One shot. David was a man after God's own heart. We love that. He was king. He danced before the Lord. Got undignified. But you know, David had his faults. He had his faults. So we're going to talk about 2 Samuel chapter 11 to probably chapter 15. I'm going to paraphrase, okay? But again, study the scripture. Show thyself approved. I can't show myself approved for you. But in 2 Samuel 11, we see perversion just done came right on in. And it started because David was out of position. So the kings were supposed to go to war. There was a season when they went to war. David was king. Where is he supposed to go? To war. He didn't go. He sent his people. He stayed home. He was on the roof one day. And it just so happened that he saw a beautiful woman taking a bath. And here's the thing. Perversion done came right on in ASAP. He cracked the door because he was not in position. And then perversion done scooped right on in. And here's the thing. He was up on the roof. He saw a woman. You can't control, right? I'm looking. There's a light. I can't control that there's a light right there. But if I keep looking at the light, that's in my control. So David not only kept looking at Bathsheba, he went so far to say, who is that? And he sent people to figure out who she was. So he let that perversion come in and start in his mind, okay? It caught him in the eye. And then it went in his mind and he, you know, he ruminated on it. He meditated on it to the point where he said, well, who is that? And they told him, this is Bathsheba. She's the daughter of this person. She's the wife of Uriah. And do you think David was like, oh, okay, my bad. That's not what he did. He sent for her. And you have to understand, he was king. Okay? So we are in America. If you are in another country, just apply it to you. But if we here in America, if the president of the United States sins for you, I can almost guarantee you finna show up. Doesn't matter if you want to. Doesn't matter if you like him. You are going to go. So he perverts even his position and his authority. And he says, okay, well, that's who that girl is. Well, send her. So then she shows up and they sleep together. And, you know, the Bible doesn't go into specifics about what happened. It just said that he sent for her. She came. They slept together. Now, you have to remember that David was an attractive man. Okay. I don't know why sometimes we act like you can't be cute in the kingdom. We got plenty of examples. Okay. We got Sarah. We got Joseph. We got David. We got Saul. We got Solomon. Okay. We got Esther. So you can be cute and still be godly. Just make it known. And so David sleeps with Bathsheba. Okay. And then he still don't repent. You would think that he would, but he didn't. And then he finds out that she gets pregnant. And he says, oh. And this is what trips me up about David. At this point, it was in that moment that David knew he did wrong. And we know that he knows that because he starts plotting on how to fix it. So he calls her husband back from the battle lines and says, hey, go sleep with your wife. And the husband is actually in a very honorable place because he says, my men are at war. They can't sleep with their wives. I'm not going to sleep with mine. That's not fair. So it blows David's plan out of the water. You would think at that moment he would be like, okay, let me go to the Lord. No. Instead, right, perversion done cracked that door. It's wide open now. And perversion said, you know what? Let me bring somebody else up in here. And David plots for Uriah to be killed. He tells his commander, he says, put that man on the front lines and send him over there and make sure he don't come back. And that's exactly what happens. So perversion done came in. It started with the eye, festered in the mind, then came out, went into the authority, worked itself out in the body, and still went unchecked. David has not repented. So it said, okay, murder, come on in here. Let's go. And now done brought that with it. And it's not until, okay, the Lord sends Nathan to rebuke David. It's not until then that David kind of contemplates what he did. So I'm going to read it for y'all. 2 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to start. Let's start in verse 10 so y'all get the fullness here. So essentially, Nathan tells David a parable, right? And then David, talking about the person in the parable, is like, oh, he gets so angry about it. And Nathan's like, that's you, my boy. Like, you are the one that messed up. So then we're going to go in verse 10. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Verse 11. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Now, I know you're probably thinking, that's a little harsh, God. Come on. At this point in time, the Lord sent Samuel to go find David. Okay, Samuel went, pulled up on Jesse, tried to anoint all the sons. The Lord said, it's not them. Samuel had to say, do you have another? Because they weren't even checking for David. God was checking for David. His family was not. So then Jesse was like, well, I got one out there in the field. And then they brought him in, and he was anointed as king. Then he had to go through the whole thing with Saul. He had to serve Saul. Saul was king, okay? Saul was king. But the Spirit of the Lord left Saul because he was out here acting a little foolish. And then he went to David. Samuel anointed David, but Saul was still in position as king. And David had to go and serve Saul. He was playing his, you know, little guitar and whatnot to soothe Saul because Saul had them demons and whatnot. That's why music is important. I'm gonna leave that there. But David had to serve Saul, okay? And then he won battles, all these things. And then, you know, Saul, in his demonized state and his paranoia, the Lord left Saul, was like, you know what? I don't like that man. And tried to kill David. David had to go on the run. He was hiding in caves. The Psalms, when they be in distress, David was writing them songs. He was going through. And the Lord kept David this whole time. Saul dies. David's put in place as king. The Lord's keeping him. Things are great. Like, the Lord has been rocking with David, keeping David. And David done fell into this sin. He didn't even repent. And it was not until this moment where Nathan says this. Then David is like, oh, well, I don't mess up. Had to go through all that. Being with Bathsheba, getting her pregnant, killing somebody. For the prophet to come rebuke him. And then David said, oh, I done messed up. And Nathan said, don't worry. The Lord's not going to kill you. But that baby is not going to live. Because sin has a consequence. So David, and this, you know, the story is very much focused on David. We don't know what was going on with Bathsheba. I'm sure perversion probably brought shame into her. But, you know, the Bible doesn't go into that. So I'm not going to go into it too far. So we see the story go on. David brings Bathsheba into his house. He marries her. He, you know, tries to make it right and whatnot. But he never fully acknowledges the situation. He's like, oh, I sinned before the Lord. But I don't believe that the repentance was deep, because what happens is his kids come into play. And we see perversion spin the block. So David has a son. His son's name is Amnon. And he has a daughter named Tamar. So they got different mamas, but David is the daddy. So they are stepchildren. Or, you know, half siblings. And so the Bible done told us back in Old Testament, back in, what is that, Leviticus? All the laws, and you can't be sleeping with people you're related to. So that is a well-established thing. But Amnon thinks that his sister is just so beautiful. Which, crazy work. That's not of the Lord, I'm telling you right now. And it says, even in 2 Samuel 13:2, and Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. That's not of God, I'm going to tell you right now. If you're so attracted to your sibling, you shouldn't be attracted at all, period. But if you're just so enthralled, like you make yourself sick, that's not of God. And so again, perversion is coming into the mind. It's coming in through the eyes because he sees her, and it's coming into the mind. And he's letting it fester. He's not striking it down. He is not going to the Lord about it. He's letting it fester. And you have to be careful who you have around you, because Amnon had a friend. I believe his name was Jonadab. I don't know how to pronounce it. That's how I'm going to say it today. His name was Jonadab. And Jonadab pulls up on him and says, what is wrong with you? And Amnon says, oh my gosh, my sister. I just really want her. I want to be with her. And Jonadab, instead of saying, that's crazy, let me pray for you and get that demon out, says, oh, well, you know what you could do? Is you could just act like you're so sick and like you have to have her come and help you. Helps Amnon come up with this whole scheme to get Tamar alone. And it works. He gets her alone and he violates her. And then he wants nothing to do with her. So, you know, not that what David did was right, but at least he married Bathsheba, okay? And Tamar was like, look, can you at least marry me? Like, can you at least try to make this right? And he's like, no, get away from me. I want nothing to do with you. And Tamar has a sibling named Absalom. David had a lot of kids, okay? But Tamar has a brother. His name is Absalom. Absalom is like, what happened to you? And Absalom immediately, he hates Amnon. He's like, no, this isn't right. Because, you know, perversion, it done came back. And now it done brought offense. It brought hatred with it. And Absalom is upset. And David got all this going on in his house. And he didn't discern not a lick of nothing. Nothing. He did not pick up on the fact that Amnon was enthralled with Tamar. He didn't talk to him about it. He didn't address it. He didn't pick up on nothing. But he does find out what happens. He finds out that Amnon, you know, violates Tamar. But he still didn't handle it right. Because we see in 2 Samuel 13:21, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified version because it makes it very clear. So 2 Samuel 13, verse 21. Now when King David heard about all these things, he was very angry, but failed to take any action. So his kids out here running amok, and he does not address it. He does not do anything. So mind you, Absalom has now witnessed what Amnon did to Tamar. He's livid. He hates Amnon. And he waits 2 years. David didn't do nothing this whole time. Absalom waits 2 years, and he comes up with this plot to kill Amnon. So now perversion done came in again. This time, it brought hatred, it brought offense, and it brought back what? Murder. Again. And Absalom kills Amnon. And you would think that David, by this time, it would click. Something would click in his mind, and it does not. It does not. Absalom kills Amnon. And then he flees because he's like, oh, I did something bad. He ran away. right? Instead of confronting it, he ran away because David did what? Ran off trying to kill Uriah, do all the things. He didn't confront. So Absalom is just following suit. He runs off. David does not even deal with that. It says in 2 Samuel 13:39, again in the Amplified, "And the heart of King David longed to go to Absalom, but he didn't go." He didn't go. He wanted to go, but he did not go. He did not act. And someone else, a third party, has to pull up on David and be like, "Look, your son is over here. Don't you want to reconcile? Don't you want to do something?" And then finally, David is like, "Okay, he can come back." Again, I'm paraphrasing. Y'all have to read this for yourself. But the Bible is full of tea. That's why you just got to read it. So finally, Absalom comes back to Jerusalem, but he does not go into the presence of the Lord. He does not go into the presence of David. He doesn't go around his daddy for, again, 2 years. So this is now years. So we had the whole thing with Bathsheba done happen. Now the whole thing with his kids. Now there's a fracture in the family line. There's a fracture. There's disunity. David is not addressing any of it. And finally, Absalom gets fed up and he sins to go to the king. That's a whole little hoopla. Y'all can read about it. But eventually he does get in the presence of the king. And David, it says that David kisses Absalom. So they make up, but they still never confront what happened. So the perversion done come in. Now it's done gone to his kids. It's brought offense. It's brought murder. It's brought hatred. It's brought disunity and discord. It's not confronted to this day. So that's why some families, you know, they like to sweep things under the rug. They like to just move around something. It's still there. This mic stand, I'm going to move around it. It's still there. I can walk all around this daggone room. The mic stand is still there. Until I come back and I confront it and I pick it up and I destroy it by the fire of God, it's still going to be there. So we see that perversion has got to be confronted. And in this case, it is not. It's left unchecked. And if you think the story is done, it's not done. Because Absalom, you know, he's made up with David. They're back in, you know, cordialness at least. And Absalom sits at the gate. And as people come into the gate, Absalom's like, "Hey, where you from? What's going on? What's your issue?" And then they tell him, they voice out, "Oh, I got XYZ going on." And Absalom says, "It's a shame that there's nobody to listen to you. If I were king, I would ABC XYZ." And he starts doing that with everybody coming through the gate. And then before you know it, everybody done turned against David. And now they want to be on Team Absalom to the point where, again, David is on the run. And there's a lot more hoopla that goes on. Y'all can read about it. Y'all can read about 2 Samuel. But I want y'all to see how this all started with perversion. It all started with perversion. And perversion didn't come in swinging. It came in presenting something. And it was David's choice to keep looking. It was David's choice to say, "Who is that?" To get the knowledge of who she was. This is Uriah's wife. And say, call her over here. And pervert his authority. And then to sleep with her. And then she had a baby. And then it was like, I got to fix this. Let me just murder somebody. Why that would be your first thought? I mean, his first thought was, let me get Uriah to sleep with her. And then that didn't work. So why his next thought was, let me just kill him. I don't know. I feel like there were other solutions there. But it all went from that. And then his kids witnessed how he never confronted that. Then there's stuff going on with them. He's still not confronting it. And it just kept going. And there's a lot of hoopla that happens in David's line. And we can trace it all back to David and Bathsheba. And I just, you know, sometimes with the Bible, it tells us the truth, which is good. But sometimes I wonder, like, what would have happened if David would have just turned, not looked at Bathsheba no more? Or, you know, even if it got to the point where he did sleep with her, got her pregnant, if he would have just handled it differently. And I even think sometimes back in the garden with Adam and Eve. Because when they sinned, you know, they ate the fruit, their eyes were open. The Lord came looking for them, "Where are you?" And they hid from the Lord. And then he confronted them like, "Hey, what's going on here?" If they would have just acknowledged what they did and repented. Because to be fair, they acknowledged what they did, but they were blaming. Adam had some gusto to try to blame the Lord. He was blaming Eve, but low-key he was blaming the Lord, saying, "The woman that you gave me, sir." Like, could you imagine? You are face-to-face with God. You walk in the cool of the day with the Lord. And then he pulls up on you and you want to say, "The woman that you gave me." Imagine saying that to your natural parent. I know they'd pop. But I wonder what would have happened if, one, preferably Adam, right? Because sin didn't come until Adam ate the fruit. Everybody wants to blame Eve, but Adam was right there. Eve ate the fruit, and then the story went on. Adam ate the fruit, then their eyes were open. So even if Eve would have repented, right, if Adam would have checked her, there's just so many things that could have gone different. But, you know, here we are. Here we are. But the price of perversion is high. So if you don't deal with it, it's going to fester. And just like a credit card, it's going to rack up that interest. It's going to rack up them charges. So I know what you're thinking. Okay, we got perversion. What do we do? Because again, we got exposure. Now we got correction. So there are a few steps. The Lord gave me 4 steps for you to combat perversion. The first one is recognize. So you have to see where you are in perversion. If you don't see, ask the Holy Spirit. He will show you. He will tell you. But you have to let him, right? You have to yield. Don't let Leviathan be out here being a block to your purification, a block to your process, making you feel like you've never done any type of perversion. I can guarantee that everyone in this room, everyone online, has spoken something that was not of the Lord. It was a perversion. I don't care how big, how little, it was a perversion. So you have to confront it. You have to recognize it and confront it. Step 2, you have to repent. So 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I did a sermon before talking about contingencies and the if, and when there's an if involved and when there's an and. When there's an and, things go together. And this verse is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So you confess your sins, you get all of that. You get all of it. He will cleanse you. He will purify you. He will forgive you. But it's contingent on the if. And that's back on our channel. You can go back. It's called Don't Skip the If. But you have to repent. And again, repentance is not just, oh, I'm sorry, God. And then you hop right back into doing whatever you're doing. That's not what repentance is. Repentance, you got to turn. So you go in this way. Oh, I'm sorry, God. And you turn and you go. And the way you go is toward the Lord. So it's turning back to God in action, in thought, in heart, not just in word. It's in all of it. Because you can talk again. You can talk all day. I repent, God. I'm so sorry. And then 2 seconds later, here you go. They don't hit you up. What you doing tonight? You better stand on your repentance. You got to stand. Somebody come in your line. Oh, my gosh, girl. XYZ made me so mad. Blah, 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 blah. You better stand on your repentance. So you got to recognize. You got to repent. And then you need to refocus. Because, again, perversion typically starts with your eyes, with your ears, with your mind. It's not immediately coming out. It's always starting somewhere. So you need to refocus. Focus on what? We find out in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You got a lot of variety there. Whatever is noble, true, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, pick one. Pick one. Focus on that. You just have to refocus. And you have to cast down every thought. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Every thought that would try to exalt itself, you've got to cast it down. You have to kill it in seed form. Because again, it just starts. David just saw Bathsheba. And his thought was, well, look at this beautiful woman. And then the next thought was, I wonder who that is. And then the next thought was, well, let me find out. He could have beautiful woman, killed it. I wonder who that is, killed it. But he went to, let me find out. And then he did find out, well, let me call her over. So many chances. He had so many chances. You have got to refocus again. So recognize, repent, refocus. And then the most important step, well, a very important step, you have to rededicate. So according to 1 Peter 1, we're going to look at verses 5 and 16. But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That is not a suggestion. That is a charge to be holy. because the Lord is holy. We are created in the image and likeness of the Lord. He's calling us to be holy. You have to rededicate in all your conduct, not just one area, in all your conduct. So you need to recognize, repent, refocus, and rededicate. So to help us rededicate and to refocus our mind, I'm going to read some scriptures, and we're going to do a declaration for each one. So when it comes to rededicating your speech, we're going to look at Ephesians 4:20 in the Amplified. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. So we're going to do I want you to speak out loud. We're going to do a declaration. So I declare that life, praise, and edification will come out of my mouth. Nothing else will come out. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We got to rededicate our gifts and our talents. So we are going to look at 1 Peter 4:10. I'm going to read the Amplified again. The Amplified was blessing me, y'all. So 1 Peter 4:10, we're going to look at the Amplified. Just as each one of you has received a special gift, a spiritual talent, an ability graciously given by God, employ it in serving one another as is appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diverse, varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. And I know that was a lot of words, so I'm gonna read it in the ESV to sum it up. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So we're gonna declare again. I declare that my gifts and my talents belong to God and will be used for His purpose and His plans. In Jesus' name. Amen. I feel it stirring. Okay, let me focus. Now, we done the speech. We done the gifts and talents. Now we're going to rededicate our temple. So according to 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So we got one more declaration. I declare that I have been bought with a high price, redeemed by the blood, and that my body belongs to, will be used by, and will glorify the Lord God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. So your speech, your gifts, and your talents, your temple, they are all meant for God's good, for His purposes, and to serve Him, to glorify Him, and to edify the body of Christ. So, Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this word, Lord God. We thank You, Father God, for the speech You have given us, Lord, for the gifts and the talents. We're going to open the altar early, so intercessors, come up here. We thank You, Father God, for these things that You have given us, Lord God. And we rededicate them today, Lord God. We thank You, Father, for revealing to us, Lord God, where we have been in perversion, Lord God, where we have perverted our speech, where we have perverted our talents, where we have perverted our gifts, where we have perverted our temples. We thank You, Father, for revealing it to us, Lord God, and we repent this day, Father God. We ask for Your forgiveness, Lord God, of all perverse speech, Lord God, all perverted talents and gifts, Father God, perverting our temple, Lord God. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord God, that you reset our sights upon you, Lord God, and we rededicate ourselves to you this day. So in the chat, online, you can put your prayer requests in the chat. If you are in the room, you can come up to the front if you need prayer. Where you've been in perversion, where your mind has been bound, where it's been flooded by the enemy, where it's been contaminated by the enemy, we come against it now, and we loose the fire of God now. We loose it now in Jesus' name. Even where the enemy has tried to pervert your body through infirmity and through sickness, where he's tried to pervert your temple, I come against all diabetes. I come against all diabetes and all disease. In the mighty name of Jesus, all diabetes, all disease, all infirmity, I destroy by the fire of God now, and I say that you cannot have this vessel, that it belongs to the Lord God. Detusa, arosha ta betusa bata betusa detisa. Arosha ta detusa. Arosha ta detusa betusa bata betusa. Arosha ta bata sa detusa bata betusa. Father God, I loose your mind, Lord, over Alexis. Arosha ta betusa bata destroy, Father God, every thought of condemnation, Lord. Every thought, Father God, that we're trying to lead her astray. Even every thought of fantasy, I bind you up in chains of fire. Detusa bata betusa. Every plant and every vine. Etusa bata betusa. That we're trying to stay rooted in her mind. I uproot you now by the fire of God. Arosha ta detusa. And I till the soil to even destroy. Arosha ta detusa. Even your runners, that it branched off of the original. And I destroy it by the fire of God. And I declare that this vessel is pure before the Lord, that this vessel is holy, that she walks and moves in holiness, that she is a shining light and an example of the Lord. And I fill you with more of the light of Christ. In Jesus' name, to burn and to destroy and to expose anywhere that the enemy would hide. In the mighty name of Jesus, for the Lord says, I will do great things through you, Alexis. I will do great things for you. You are traveling to new places, to new spaces. For my glory. You're on the path to destiny. And it will be fulfilled. I will fulfill my purpose in the earth through you, daughter. And I seal this, Father God, this word in the realm of the Spirit, and I declare this day that Alexis will move in the things of you, God, that she will fulfill the destiny that you have placed upon her, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Aroshata Betusa, in Jesus' name, Etusabata Betusa, in Jesus' name, and I burn and destroy, Lord God, any contamination of the enemy, Father God, any residue that we're trying to linger. I destroy it by your fire. In the mighty name of Jesus, I destroy it by your fire. And I lose, Father God, clarity of mind. I lose, Lord God, clarity of mind in Jesus' name. And I say this day that conviction will come, Father God, but condemnation will not. I forbid condemnation from coming in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Sabata betusa. Those online, you can continue putting your prayers in the chat. We're going to get to them. You can also text your prayers to 833-807-4707. Aroshata. Detusa bata betusa. Aroshata detusa bata betusa bata betusa. Aroshata detusa bata betusa. I loose the waters of the Lord. Aroshata betusa bata betusa over your body. Detusa bata and over your mind and over your home. Aroshata betusa bata betusa. The Lord is cleansing even within your home. Detusa bata betusa, and he's reestablishing it. Aroshata for his kingdom, for his will. Detusa bata yami, you are a light and a vessel. Detusa bata a lamp. Detusa bata betusa, and you are turning even your household. Aroshata detusa, you are turning even your household. Detusa bata, so do not become discouraged. Aroshata betusa bata. Long life is the portion of your house. Detusa bata, enjoy and victory. Detusa bata, in glorifying the Lord. Aroshata detusa bata betusa, and I see your family. Detusa bata, in the joy and in the sun. It's like they're in the sun of the Lord. Etu sabata, shining bright in the Lord. Etu sabata, you have done a good work, daughter. in your obedience and your deliverance, and your call is coming. Your destiny is sealed and secure. Don't fret. Don't try to rush. It's coming. Rest in me. You're doing enough. You're doing enough. You're doing enough because I'm the one that's doing it, says the Lord. So you're doing enough. Just keep praying. Just keep fasting. Just keep meditating on my word. You're doing enough. And you will see the fruit. The Lord says, I already see the fruit, because the Lord can see far and beyond. And you will see the fruit. You will see the fruit. And he will establish himself in your house. In Jesus' name. Father God, continue, Lord, to stir your waters. Aroshata.
Hello. Deba sotu kanraba kande reseti kigana mansutuya. I lose fire into the chat. So those of you who are online, we're about to begin to pray for you. I want to pray for Crystal 08. I thank you, Lord God, that everything, Lord God, that Father God kept her, Father God, her temple, Father God, in perversion, Lord God, any, Father God, perversion, Father God, of her temple, of her body, of her tongue, Lord God, it's being loosed from her now in the mighty name of Jesus. That, Lord God, as she has repented, Lord God, and as, Father God, she is growing higher in you, God, that you are washing her in the blood of Jesus, and that, Father God, she is already forgiven, Lord God. You have already forgiven your daughter, Lord God. You have already, Father God, forgiven, Father God, the things of her bloodline, Lord God. I even, Father God, stand, Father God, as an intercessor, and I repent on behalf of her bloodline, Lord. I repent on behalf of her ancestors, Lord God, her forefathers, Lord God, and I decree and declare, Lord God, that, Father God, she would rise, Father God, as one, Father God, who stands in purity, Lord God, that sickness cannot have her, that disease cannot have her, that all forms of perversion cannot have her, that where sexual perversion was there, it will no longer be, where there was perversion of her tongue, it will no longer be. I even decree and declare, where perversion tried to form into a space of sickness, I decree and declare it be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. I see you, and I thank you, Father, for this woman of God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are drawing her near and closer to you more than ever, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that as she continues, Father God, to have a desire to come to you again and again, Lord God, that you're purging her all the more, God, that you're cleansing her, Lord God, and you are washing her, Father God, as one, Lord God, who doesn't even have thoughts of perversion. We even come against all thoughts of perversion, all thoughts, Father God, of lust, Father God, all thoughts, Lord God, even, Father God, of death, Lord God, even, Father God, where her mouth may have been speaking death, Father God, in certain seasons of her life. I thank you, Lord God, that death is not her portion. I thank you, Father God, that you are bringing her out, Father God, of bondage and into, Father God, your marvelous light. I thank you, Lord God, that the light of God shines in her brain. The light of God shines in her mind. In Jesus' mighty name, and I decree and declare every devilish spirit will loose her mind. Loose her mind. I loose fire into her mind, fire into her vessel, fire into her thoughts, fire into her eyes, fire in her mouth, fire into her temple. And I pray over her children. I decree and declare, as their mother gets free, so will her children. That in the name of Jesus, as she fights this demon of perversion and wins the war, that her children won't have to battle it, that their children won't have to, Father God, war as she is warring, Father God, that she will war for her children, and that she will, Father God, get free, Lord God, that her children, Father God, can walk in the promised land, Father God, in a better way, Father God, in an easier way, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I bind all condemnation that would try to come against her in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can cash app us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.